If you look at the record, at least to date, you'd have to say that that's the case. But again, lots of reasons for that, but whatever they are, they're not acceptable.
John Sherman, Royals Chairman and CEO, with our Royals Insider, Josh Vernier.
Would you describe your competitiveness, the drive home from the ballpark? Are you able to leave it here? Do you need to fall asleep before the losses leave the body? I've always thought the reason to own a professional organization, and of course I would know, but I would always think it's civic pride.
Absolutely.
And of course, you're a competitor. I want to stand there with that trophy. How would you describe your competitiveness?
Well, I would tell you civic pride. These are great platforms for doing good in a community. I think that's a big part of, but I think people that own these things, I can speak, you want to compete. It is fun to compete. I'm not going out on the field anymore, but you feel like you're part of something special. I would tell you that even though logically you're supposed to keep this in perspective, there's 162 games, every single loss hurts. And I think about last night. I mean, again, I try to find the silver lining and everything, but I want to send, when we get 20, what do we have yesterday? 20, almost 20, we get 20,000 people on a Tuesday. I want to send them home with a win. Okay, we can't control that just because that's the icing on the cake. I know different people have, it was a nice night for families and all that, but I think winning is important. So I would tell you that every loss hurts and every win feels pretty good. The other thing I would tell you about baseball, it's great, is when you lose, you get to come back tomorrow to redeem yourself. And when you win, you can't wait to get back to the ballpark tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I always talk about our ownership group being, and they are, 100% civically engaged. They did this for the right reason. Community is a big part of it, but to a person, they all want to win, and we want to do it for our fans of this, for the great fans of this community.
You mentioned the 20,000 on a Tuesday night. You get 25, 26 back on Friday.
I think we had a big crowd Sunday, too. Yeah. I mean, for a Sunday afternoon game.
Yeah. And you take a look around the landscape right now in this country, everything's at least a dollar more than it normally is, and yet people are still making their way out. You know how much this city appreciates and supports a winner. I've kind of touched on this, and so have you, but how eager are you to deliver that winner to this city?
I'm very eager. I can't. The sense of urgency is palpable. By the same token, you got to do this at the right pace. You got to make sure the foundation's strong to move forward. But I am impatient about. I'm patient about making sure we do the right things to get there. I am impatient though about delivering for the great fans of this community.
Yeah. Often, as you know, doing the post game show. Fans want answers and reaction after every single game. You said earlier that the status quo isn't going to hold up. You got to change something if the product isn't at the level or producing where you want it to. So that would make this off season, right? That would make this off season a big off season if you don't want status quo. Long way of asking. In-season changes, to me, have never been a reflection of a well-run organization or a strong business. Where do you come out on changing the status quo in-season when we still have 88 games to go?
Well, I think we have some really important things coming up. And when I think about the draft and the trade deadline, and I think both of those are opportunities to improve this organization. So those are things we'll do in season. I'm looking to for we're spending a lot of time. I'm supportive, but I'm also pushing for the right changes. And I think Dayton and JJ are guys with great baseball histories and great I expect them to be the architects of change and getting us on the right track here.
Without fawning too much over your tenure as CEO and chairman, to deal with what you dealt with and the rest of your group has dealt with since the pandemic and, you know, the lack of furloughs and paying minor leaguers and spending money on Salvi and Santana and Minor and Greinke and everyone else. If you could go back and talk to yourself right before you make the purchase of the organization, what wisdom, what advice do you impart on a younger John Sherman?
That's an interesting, you know, if I would have known that there was a global pandemic around the corner, well, it certainly wouldn't have changed any of my behavior. You know, these businesses become available about once every generation and a half, right? So if you love this game and you've been fortunate enough to have the wherewithal to put together a group to do this, you kind of need to make those moves when they're available. And you know, it's a pretty rare you know, having the opportunity to be in Cleveland for 4 years before I did this was also a blessing. But it's really my business career, though, I would say, prepared me for what happened right after we acquired this team. You know, I mean, and I would say this about the group. These are veteran, a lot of them are veteran business people and leaders. They've all been through various crises, right? And business crises, leadership crises. And so, you know, the main thing I don't think you know till you get there, but I think that we were equipped to, you know, always think about these things. You want to be, you don't want to overreact, but you don't want to underreact. You want to be decisive but thoughtful, and the main thing is not to panic. And so I think I was fortunate that, you know, I was prepared for that, even though it was a new business for me, and listening to the people in the organization. I mean, that was one thing about the first year. You know, it's always when you acquire one of these things, it's you spend some time, right? You don't make changes immediately. You spend some time getting to know the people, and then I think that was actually set back by the pandemic, because really it was how do we make sure we kind of make this thing stable and secure. On the other hand, baseball wasn't going anywhere, right? This was just about, despite, you know, the world, you know, the sky was falling for sure, right? But baseball wasn't going anywhere. In fact, if anything, I think the pandemic actually helped us appreciate the value of sports even more. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a little bizarre out here in 2020 with us and the paper cutouts, right? But the guys were competing, and you think about how hungry people were for live sports at that time. I mean, we were watching I think cornhole championships or Korean baseball.
I know I was, yeah.
at three in the morning. So, so anyway, the way you pose that question, that's an interesting one thing though. I know, if you love this game and you get the opportunity, and you're lucky enough to get the opportunity to do something like this, particularly in the community you live in, it's really an unbelievable opportunity. It's also why I want to execute it right. I want to execute it right for our ownership group, for our fans, and for the region and community.
Talk about your love for baseball. I wasn't planning on asking this, but I don't think I've heard you point to market size. I don't want to, you know, whining certainly not the right word,
right.
But pointing out facts of, you know, it's different in Kansas City than it is L.A., New York.
Right.
What would you say to the health of this sport? Just signed a new CBA, which we're all very happy with. But what would you say about the health of this sport in 2022?
Well, I think you won't ever hear me complain about being a small market, and given the system that we have, I kind of see it as a blessing, because I think if you can pull this off in a small market, it is a special achievement, right? And so from that perspective, I relish that opportunity, relish that challenge. That said, I do think, you know, we have some there are some flaws in our system, you know, relative to competitive balance. We did get through a CBA. I think it was a win-win for the group. I think long term, though, there's some things that we need to work on, both from a labor perspective, but then also just business strategy. I think about long term media strategy, not just locally but nationally. I think there's some big opportunities for us on the media, in the media landscape, if we can kind of think about this differently in the way that younger fans consume this game. You know, I get, I think I've said this before, but now I like the fact we have this app out, the Bally's app, and but, you know, people recently, somebody asked me at a funeral, why can't I get the games, you know? And so that's probably the number one thing. So this app is one step, but I think long term, I think we will totally change the way that we deliver this content, and I think it'll provide a lot of opportunity. I also think it will ultimately be something that helps competitive balance in terms of the way we share that revenue and things like that. Well, that all remains to be seen, but I would just tell you that all of us at Major League Baseball, the owners, the commissioner's office, we are committed to try and find ways to make this a better product for our fans, for the league, for the players.
Condolences on the funeral you attended.
Well, it was. I just thought that was a great.
But you can't even. Can't go anywhere without hearing about the TV.
This was at a funeral, wow. and it was. You know, it's interesting when older people say that to me. They say I had YouTube TV because my kids made me get it, changed from Spectrum, and then I lost the games. But you know, I'm going out on the screen porch now. And I'm listening to it on the radio like I did when we were kids, and they enjoy that. But that's not, you know, that's not the 28 to 35 year old, right, that we want to get more engaged in that game. That's people more older than me, even.
Yeah, I love them listening to the radio. And the post-game show.
No, I do too. No, don't get me wrong.
No, I understand. Any message to me or the post-game show listeners by chance?
Well, I'm one of them. It's my ride home every night. So
that's what I was aiming for. That's what I was hoping you would say. Mr. Sherman, I greatly appreciate a lot of time this morning. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
We'll talk again soon.
Thanks for having me. Thanks, Vern.
John Sherman with Josh Vernier, our Royals insider, and their sit-down conversation. We'll react a little more in-depth coming up at 7:30.
I got some things to say.
Homesick baseball player, fat baseball player, and NFL dragging its feet. We chat with Ben Maller of Fox Sports Radio next.
This is Fesco in the Morning. Preferred 2-1 over other competing dentists. Brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound. Your home for car audio since 1967. On 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Time to chat with Ben Maller of Fox Sports Radio. You can hear overnights right here on 610 Sports Radio, brought to you by The Landing in Liberty.
And Ben, as you know, it's going to be the 4th of July holiday coming up this weekend. Where will L.A. Dodger Freddie Freeman be playing on July 4th?
He'll be in the fetal position, sucking his thumb and crying, I think. Boy, that was something. The Freddie Freeman story the last week, guys, it's good to be on with you again. This guy does not want to be a Dodger. He's so upset right now. And the odd thing is he's playing well, though. That's the weird thing. Like, you would expect the way Freddie Freeman reacted when he went back to Atlanta and was a ball of tears, a glass house of emotion with the Braves there, you would think that he would be terrible, like batting 200 with no home runs. He's putting up the same numbers with the Dodgers he put up with in Atlanta. But you can tell he does not want to be there. He would rather be with the Atlanta Braves. It's going to be fascinating to see how this all plays out. He's already gotten rid of the agent. Now there's possibly a lawsuit because of things that were said about the agent. So this thing's going next level right now.
I've never seen anything like this, I don't think, in sports, where a guy makes a decision and then is like all homesick over this. I mean, it's clearly not going over well with Clayton Kershaw and the rest of the Dodgers. How do you think this whole thing ultimately plays out with Freddie Freeman and the Dodgers?
Yeah, so I think Freddie will be okay. The problem is down the line, the Dodgers and the Atlanta Braves are on a collision course. The Braves are going to be in the playoffs, one of the wild card teams at worst if they don't catch the Mets, and the Dodgers are going to be in the playoffs. So at some point, they're likely going to play each other, and that means Freddie's going to have to go back to Atlanta again. Is he going to be able to handle that? That's the nightmare, but if Freddie really wants to play for the Braves, and if the Braves want him back, if I'm the Dodgers, as good as he's been, I would actually consider sending him back to the Braves. I don't think that's actually going to happen because of the contract and all that. But that's the concern. I think Freddie will be fine with the Dodgers, but when they play the Braves, is he going to be able to handle that? And the Dodgers lost to the Braves last year in the playoffs. So, and Freddie was part of the Braves, and now he's on the other side. So that's the part of it. And the agent, will there be a lawsuit? I'm betting there won't be a lawsuit. It's just talk, because the agency that sent out that quote threatening my colleague, Doug Gottlieb of Fox Sports Radio, who said beyond a doubt that this was a done, that he had insider information. He didn't even say, I like Doug. I've known Doug a while, but he didn't say like allegedly, which is a problem. You can pretty much, I've determined in our business, guys, you can say pretty much anything if you say allegedly or reportedly, and you can get away with it. But if you didn't use those words, but I don't think there's going to be a lawsuit because there's the discovery phase. And I'm sure there's some stuff that the agent does not want to get out that was said. So I highly doubt there'll be a lawsuit.
Unsolicited a promo for Breaking Tea. Did you buy a second fiddle t-shirt?
Yeah, no, I've not done that. I did see very, very nice though. Very nice. I'm sure they're going to make a ton of money. Those, you guys should get in on that. You guys got to get in on the t-shirt. Didn't you try that a while ago? The t-shirt thing. I think you told me some story about that, but the t-shirt business, a great racket. I've tried that on my show. My listeners on the overnight are so cheap. They will not pay, they will not spend any money on a t-shirt. I wish they would. I would come up with all kinds of crazy shirts, but they don't like spending money.
No, it's radio listeners, man. We want free t-shirts. We're not paying for this kind of stuff. Come on now. Pay for a t-shirt yeah. or get a free pen. Give me that free pen every day of the week.
Yeah. And no matter how much I've tried a couple of different price points on the t-shirts I've sold over the years, it's never cheap enough. Never cheap. You can't go low enough because you can't match free. As you said, freeze the price. That's the price point. Anything over free is too much. And I don't blame them, by the way. I understand. I'm the same way.
Ben, here's a free koozie from 610 Sports Radio. Handing it to you right now as we speak.
Do they have those still? How about the keychains? Do they still have the key?
I think we're out of keychains. We still have koozies, I believe. Okay. I'll go check.
Well, it's summer. You need to keep your drinks cold. It's summertime. Come on.
My July 1st conspiracy date remains in play for Deshaun Watson. But with each passing day, Ben, I'm getting a little nervous. This feels like now something that presses into next week.
Yeah, well, it's definitely going to continue to next week. But I'm thinking maybe, how about Saturday? The judge is likely going to wrap things up, the old federal judge, today. So they have, I think it's a couple days to get the final briefs in, both sides. And then, so they say they do that quickly because it's a holiday weekend, so the attorneys want to go out and enjoy themselves with their families. So they want to get this over with. I assume the judge wants to spend time with her family over the 4th of July and not deal with this nonsense. So either it's going to go way past the 4th of July or they're going to get a ruling. How about Saturday when no one's paying attention? Everyone's out, enjoying themselves at a park somewhere, barbecuing, and then they can make the announcement Saturday afternoon. But I agree. It's going to have, I would be surprised if it doesn't happen this weekend, maybe even the 4th of July. And a bunch of radio guys will be, I'll be working, but a bunch of people will be off. You guys will be off. And then they can make the announcement.
Is 6 to 8 games going to be enough, though? I mean, come on.
Oh, God, no, no. There's no way.
Yeah, so that's stupid. Like, why throw that out there?
Yeah, so, and the NFL rebuked that with the reporter in Cleveland. There's no way it can be 6 games. There's still open cases that could be filed. You can't do 6 to 8 games. And somebody brought up a great point about the comparison that some of Deshaun Watson's people have made to the media that, well, what about Jim Irsay? What about Dan Snyder? What about these owners who have also done things that have been on the fringes of a polite society? But the difference is the owners are not governed by the collective bargaining agreement. And an attorney pointed that out, that it's not the same. It's not an apples to apples comparison. So while what the owners did was inappropriate and untoward, it's not the same comparison because they don't have to follow the same rules the players have. And so it's a different set of rules.
Ben Maller of Fox Sports Radio. Of course, you can hear him overnights right here on 610 Sports Radio. Back to baseball for a moment because you brought up a fantastic point via Twitter and I believe an article about the return of the soft beer league softball guy to Major League Baseball. I for one, we've been big fans of Alejandro Kirk, the Toronto catcher. But he's not the only one. We are bringing the glory days of the beer league softball guy back to baseball, which I love.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, Josh and Bob, I wish I could flash back to when I was 12 years old for many reasons, but as a fat kid playing Little League, I always gravitated. There weren't very many fat guys in baseball when I was a kid. There were a few, but there were many more than in recent years. Like in recent years, these guys have been in great shape. I feel like everyone's on a workout program. Everyone eats right. But for some reason, all of a sudden, in 2022, like we were not paying attention, and all these big tubs of goo returned to baseball, and it's wonderful. It's glorious. I sent out a photo. The Dodgers have this real heifer in the bullpen. This guy is humongous. This Reyes Moronta, I believe is his name. And this guy's got to be three bills. The Pirates have a first baseman, Vogelsong, who's also getting up there. The guy for the Blue Jays, Christian Kirk, that guy is he's really good. He's like an all-star level good hitter. Like, he's not just chubby. He's like, it reminds me, the one of the great fat guys, back in the 80s, they had Kirby Puckett and also John Kruk were very good fat guys. Tony Gwynn kind of near the end of his career became a fat guy. But there haven't been too many of them since around that point in time. It's been sporadic, but it's really great right now. Every time I turn on again, I flip around every night because I got nothing to do. I'm watching these games. I'm like, hey, wait a minute. I hit the pause button. I'm like, who's that guy? And I gotta go on the internet and look him up. And how much does he weigh? I'm like, wow, this is cool. And these guys have been good. That's the thing. As I said, a lot of these guys have been pretty good. They haven't been, you know, terrible. Like the perception, if you're out of shape, you're going to be terrible at baseball. These guys are out of shape. And so far, anyway, they're doing pretty well.
Well, and Alejandro Kirk is a modern-day Kirby Puckett. They do kind of remind me of each other. And Kirby Puckett was like my favorite fat guy athlete growing up because I was a fat kid growing up as well. And so I always loved Kirby Puckett. And Josh is going to throw eggs at me right now. I can just see. Who's your Mount Rushmore of fat athletes?
Oh, so, you know, we love Mount Rushmore of fat. But you got to go with the nicknames, like the round mound of rebound, Charles Barkley back in the day. You would do the late hefty lefty, Jared Lorenzen. Mm-hmm. And I remember when I saw him play at Kentucky, I thought I was being duped. When I first saw a highlight, I thought, well, that's fake. That's like, so I don't know. It was before Photoshop, but I was like, that's not real. Well, and the greatest fat athlete of all time, Babe Ruth, back, you know, old school.
Right.
Back in the day. And then I would put Kirby on there. I love watching Kirby Puckett because he was like fat but fast. You know, he was like fit fat, where he played center field for the Twins and he'd run around and he's like, how's he doing that? He was like a pinball bouncing around a pinball machine. It was cool. What about you?
Well, no, Kirby Puckett was on the list. I think John Kruk would be on the list. For the second week in a row, I'm bringing up Rando Teddy Huguera. I brought him up last week. Teddy Huguera was a good fat athlete. And I think you're right. I think Babe Ruth has to be the George Washington of the fat athlete. And I know Josh is trying to dodge the conversation because he hates Mount Rushmore.
I refuse.
No, I hate it too. I hate it too. But I don't do list radio, but I do big boards. I've determined recently to do big boards, but not lists. It's different. A big board is much different.
Sure it is.
Much different.
It's socially acceptable in the radio community. When we go to radio conventions, it's very – I don't do lists. I do big boards. But don't forget CC Sabathia, 300 pounds for the Yankees.
Yes.
And David Wells. I saw David Wells when he was at the Dodgers at the end of his career, and he was right around 300 pounds too with the –
Yep.
The boys in blue at the end. So.
Yeah, those are some good ones. David Wells, really, really good. Obviously, CC Sabathia. CC looks great right now. He looks like an Adonis right now.
Yeah, he's like one of those NFL linemen that lose weight when they stop playing and all that. How about now let's do big
he lost his per diem.
We got to do Josh's Mount Rushmore of fat radio guys.
I'm sorry. I don't hear you. I think you're breaking up, Ben.
Oh, no. The phone is dying. Oh, no. It's what happened,
Ben. We appreciate the time. Enjoy 4th of July. Enjoy the hot dogs and sauerkraut. We'll talk to you again in 2 weeks.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, guys. Enjoy the holiday. Happy birthday, America.
There it is, Ben Maller, Fox Sports Radio, with our Mount Rushmores of fat athletes. Who's on yours? 913-586-7610 on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. Who is on your Mount Rushmore of the fat athlete?
I may give you three, I may give you five, I may give you four.
Why does it have to be four?
We'll do that because that's what Rushmore is.
Oh.
You heard from John Sherman earlier this hour a couple of our reactions. Next.
Fesco in the morning. Brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, your home for car audio since 1967 on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Back in Thursday edition, Fesco in the morning, along with Bob Fesco, I'm Josh Klingman, Brian Williams, B-Dub producing your hype songs today.
And your
best
athletes.
Sports hype songs at 913-586-7610. And also follow up with Ben, your favorite fat guy. Athletes.
Yeah, we got a lot going on the text line today, don't we?
Yep.
Hype songs and fat athletes. Big day.
Yeah. Big
great
day.
Great day for
I like that.
Day.
Yeah, I like it. It's a big day. I like hype songs, and I do like the fat athlete.
I was always a fan of Oliver Miller.
That's a good one. I see that on the text line. Yep.
I liked Ollie a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Former Royals pitcher Dennis Reyes.
Dennis yes. Reyes had one leg shorter than the other, correct. Which added to the fatness.
And he was like round.
Yeah,
he was round.
He was just perfect.
Yeah. I liked him a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, the back in the day with the Crux.
Yeah,
the,
yeah, yeah.
And the Kirby, as you right. mentioned, yep. Kirby's good, and Gwynn, Tony yes. Gwynn.
Yep.
Tony Gwynn was amazing.
T. Gwynn, yeah,
he was amazing.
Ken Herbeck.
Yeah, Ken Herbeck's a big boy.
Cecil Fielder. One of my favorites.
Cecil was always good. And Prince was good, too. But Prince is a little leaner than the Pops.
Yeah. Not a lot, though.
Is Cecil still with us, or do we lose him?
Not sure.
I feel like we lost him, but I don't know for 100% if we lost him or not. He's probably still alive, but whatever. I'm not good with deaths. No. And speaking of deaths, if you're at a funeral and John Sherman is there, don't ask him about the Bally's app.
I guess where else are you going to get that information?
I got to be honest, man, like time and place for everything, right? Yeah. Have some self-awareness. And if you're at a funeral where somebody's mourning the loss of a loved one, this isn't a wake where people are milling around having, pastry. This is a funeral. You're walking down the aisle, and there's John Sherman sitting there. Don't go, psst, hey, what about the Bally's app? When are we going to get the games?
Can't get it.
Time and place.
Can't get it. Billy Butler.
Billy Butler.
How do we forget Billy Butler? Bartolo Colon.
Yeah.
Fernando Valenzuela. Yeah, he had a little pudge to him.
Oh, a little. Fernando was,
Pablo Sandoval. Still running over catchers in Mexico. If you haven't seen that video.
Oh, my God. Did you guys see that video?
He trucked a dude because there's no The collision with the catcher thing doesn't apply in the Mexican League.
Yeah.
He destroyed somebody like a linebacker, like
last
Terry
weekend.
Tate office linebacker.
That was so good.
And the late
that guy laid there like he was dead.
Yeah, he still hasn't woke up.
Yeah, not at all. Butterbean.
Yep.
Butterbean. I'm not sure he's with us. Is he?
Cecil is still with us.
Cecil is.
I'm not
okay.
sure Butterbean good. Is or not. But
all right.
I'll check on
Butterbean. Continue to weigh in at 913-586-7610. John Sherman sat down with Josh Vernier, a Royals insider, and says the status quo is not good enough.
I'm very eager. I can't. The sense of urgency is palpable. By the same token, you got to do this at the right pace. You got to make sure the foundation's strong to move forward. But I am impatient about. I'm patient about making sure we do the right things to get there. I am impatient, though, about delivering for the great fans of this community.
And John Sherman also said the status quo was not acceptable in his conversation with Josh Vernier. And look, he's right about that. I think one of the more telling things that John Sherman said in his conversation with Vernon, and if you missed it, we will replay it coming up at 8:20 this morning. You can always get it on the Odyssey app using the rewind feature, podcast the last hour, whatever the case may be, to get the full conversation with John Sherman. And I would encourage every Royals fan to listen to that, not just react to a couple of quotes that maybe Vern has tweeted out or things that you perceive that John Sherman said, because one of the things that he talked about was the status quo is not being acceptable right now here in Kansas City. And I think that's important to hear. I don't know that we ever heard the prior owner, David Glass, say anything about anything when it came to the on-field performance of this ball club until they started winning. And then we heard from David Glass, which is fine. I don't necessarily need, to hear from the owner every single day, but it's good to hear the owner of the team say that the status quo is not acceptable. Now, the question then remains, okay, the status quo is not acceptable. You're worse than you thought you were going to be. You thought you were further along as an organization. What are some of those changes that you can enact now to help move this thing forward? And the big problem is there's just not an easy solution to this right now, right, Josh? I mean, it's not like you can just wave a magic wand and things are going to change, because fans and media and everybody, who follows this baseball team could have a solution which they think is going to be right. And most likely it's going to be different from the next guy or the next gal that has a solution on what they think is going to be needed to be changed in order for things to be right with inside this organization. I think there's a lot of things. I think the number one problem with the Royals right now is baseball. Baseball being a problem right now and not allowing the small markets to have that success. John Sherman even talked about that, about, pulling it off in the small market and how special it is. And 14 and 15 continue to remind us how hard and how special it was to see what the Royals were able to do. I think that's the number one problem right now. Baseball, we're like football, right? And we were on an even playing field with a salary cap, with a salary floor. Everybody had an opportunity every year, and they were losing like this. Then you could sit there and say, fire the general manager or fire this guy or fire that guy. but it's just not the same. The Royals operate completely different from everybody else.
They do, but they acknowledge this is the way we have to operate.
Right.
Your importance is on drafting and developing.
Absolutely.
And if you're not doing that, then you need to change your system.
Change the system of the way you're drafting and developing.
I think
right
they're going to have to reevaluate. Right?
Well, they may have to.
If they're
sure
not where they're at, and he even said, I thought we'd be further along this
right
year.
Right.
They're going to have to evaluate how they take from the draft on.
Right. So what does that mean, though?
I don't
Jeff?
Know.
Like, what does that
know
mean? What's the solution?
I'm not
and that's
I'm
where
not,
I am.
I'm
don't
not
know
firing everybody.
No,
to say,
I'm not
you're
either.
You're doing
right
it wrong, but you do have to assess what you're doing and how you're doing it and how you're getting the people to this spot and then not being able to get over the hump.
Right.
And win games as a result of it.
Now, is it
it's
is
a hard
it the,
answer?
And then I'll throw this one at you because is it they're not drafting the right guys or they're not developing the right guys that are being drafted the proper way in the minor leagues? Because now that's another question that you have
correct
to ask, which is it? Are we drafting the wrong players or are we not developing the players the proper way?
I mean, I'd love to give you a snap answer like someone on social media will, like, well, they're not doing that. I don't know.
Yeah, you don't know.
You don't know what that answer is. It feels like there's a talented group of players that have had success moving through. So why is it not translating to wins now?
Right.
Is where they need to get to as an organization. Like, figure out why this isn't happening. If this year was supposed to be better, you need to figure out why it isn't.
Right. But this is also, and the flip side is, and again, I'm just presenting the other side to everything. The flip side is nobody's really changed in this organization from the time they won the world championship. And they were able to draft and develop players to win a world championship in Kansas City. So what is it about now that's not working, right? I mean, like, it is one of the more complicated conundrums we've ever faced in Kansas City in sports. What's wrong with the Royals in 2022? Why aren't they winning? The correct answer is, I don't know.
Yeah.
And it's okay to say right now you don't know, but if you're in the front office and you're working for the organization, that's your job to figure it out. And they probably have a better pulse on things than we do sitting, you know, at a 36,000, you know, foot view of everything. Those guys are down there in the trenches. They're in the middle of it. They know exactly what's going on. And John Sherman's been a successful business guy, worked for a successful organization with the Cleveland Indians as minority owner of that ball club. They've got really good people in place. I trust that they're going to figure this thing out. And if they don't, then it may be time to make changes. But I don't know what those changes are right now. And I don't know what exactly is wrong, why this group of players is not realizing their success.
We don't like that Justin Herbert seems grounded. We'll get to him next.
You're listening to Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, your home for car audio since 1967. Royals insider Josh Vernier joins the show every Monday at 8:30 on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio.
I don't know about this one. I don't know if I'd be hyped up to do anything other than a couple sit-ups or something and jog in an 80s video.
Let me tell you something, brother.
Your hype songs at 913-586-7610 today.
I'm telling you what, some of the 80s movie songs are some of the best workout songs that you
yeah
can have.
That's what this one feels like to me completely. Yeah. Wearing a lot of pastels and running in slow
motion. I'm telling you what, if you hear this song come on and you're out there running or working out, you're going to go a little bit harder.
You're going to
go a little bit harder. I promise you that. Is Goran Ivanišević playing in the U.S. Open today?
I don't believe so. No. He's somebody's coach, though.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
He's been trying to make up names. Bob's trying to stump me off the air with tennis names.
What about
for
Jürgen Klinsmann?
We'd have Wimbledon on the one television today.
Is Jürgen Klinsmann playing in the French Open right now?
No, he's not. He is not.
I've been trying to find Andre Agassi all day, and he's not coming on. What's the deal here?
I was telling Josh earlier, I'm like, no matter what athlete you are in any sport, like, men's tennis players aren't that popular in the grand scheme of things in sports, yet they always have beautiful girlfriends. And I'm like, where are these people meeting? Like, do their agents introduce them to each other?
Yeah,
like, how does this happen?
Important people meet at important places, apparently.
Because you said Jack Sock is married to Mr. or Mrs. Universe or something like that? Or
heard of
it. Like Miss North Carolina. I said Jack Sock's playing today. Kansas City product.
Right.
Yeah, he's playing today.
He's playing today.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Great. Where is he meeting Miss West Virginia? Like, where do these rendezvous happen? Are you at like a cocktail party, or do your agents pass numbers? Do you slide into a DM these days? Like, how do all of these famous people always meet each other? What are they doing? Like, is Jay-Z having a mixer at there his house
that,
or something?
Wasn't there a famous person's app for a while? I don't know if it's still
there. Oh,
a thing
there
or
was?
Not.
Really?
I think so.
What's that called? Bumble
so.
Or something?
No,
I mean,
like an invite only one.
Oh, I didn't realize that. So, like, where rich and famous people can kind of get together.
I saw a story about that a long time ago.
Well, we haven't been invited to that app.
Never. I don't like that. I'm leery of Justin Herbert.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the AFC West quarterbacks, okay, I know we make fun of Mr. Unlimited. I think he's good. He's had a really good career,
he's
right?
He's a very nice career.
He's just kind of a dork.
He's a dork.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Unlimited.
He's just so awkward.
Yeah.
Okay?
How did he meet Ciara? Like, where are these meetings happening?
They got
Mr.
people.
Unlimited.
They got people. Derek Carr seems like probably the nicest human being you'd ever encounter.
Like, you'd like to hang with him. Yeah.
Like, he just looks like he just sounds, everything about him is like super nice, kind of dorky, but like harmless. I don't want him to be good at quarterbacking.
Mm-hmm.
I do downplay his probably quarterbacking ability. And then Justin Herbert, we really don't want to be good, right? Because I think they have a lot of pieces.
Yeah.
And I don't want them to overcome their coaching deficiency, which was apparent last year.
Mm-hmm.
But I really don't like the fact that he just sounds so grounded. Like, he gets it.
I heard this XM interview that he did with some folks over there on the satellite side of things. And I'm listening to, you know, part of the interview and that they tweeted out, and I'm like, I really like this guy.
I know it sucks.
The Bengals are an incredible team, and you know, we feel like we can play pretty good football too. And it's all about consistency, and we have to put together a full season for us to play the football that we want to. And we've definitely added some guys on defense, picked up a few guys on offense, and had a great offseason so far. And as soon as the season comes, we understand it's all about execution and being sharp week in and week out, never looking ahead, and making sure that we're doing everything we can to give ourselves a shot on Sundays.
Yeah, I don't want to hear that.
But he realizes, Josh, what the issue is,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
He understands.
They've been the paper champs.
Yeah, he understands. They've got to put it all together, and they've got to achieve success on the field each week, or none of this is going to matter. And I was hoping, like, he didn't understand that. I was hoping, like, he felt like he arrived, that he was just going to, you know, kind of be, you know, head in the clouds type of guy, not really paying attention, thinking, hey, we're in L.A. and we had 9 wins last year and whatever the case may be. But no, he clearly understands everything that's been said and everything that everybody's been talking about, that you're not good until you actually execute on the field, until you actually go out there and take care of business, regardless of how many close games you've been in with the Chiefs, or maybe you beat their backups or whatever the case is with that. You've got to go out there and do it every single week in the National Football League. Otherwise, you can't be in that conversation. And I think you're right. You look around, the Chargers got a lot of good talent. There's no question about it. But can they overcome their head football coach? I don't know if you can. I think it's hard to overcome a bad head football coach, and I think the Chargers have a bad head football coach.
Just lonely here, thinking about the muscle-bound paper boy, wishing he'd come by and bring me some good news.
Is that their head coach? Yeah, I don't wish any of them success, because I think there's a good group of quarterbacks in this division.
Yeah, there is.
I want to be head and shoulders above them at all spots, but the quarterback gap isn't that big anymore.
Not in this division, it's
you
not.
Know?
I mean,
everybody's good.
Look at the AFC East. Huge gap, right? Buffalo, Josh Allen, runaway. The other three are useless. Huge gap there in the AFC East. NFC East probably got a huge gap there as well. I think, you know, Dak Prescott, probably the best, right?
Mm-hmm.
The other three are a bunch of nobodies. I don't know that there's another division in the NFL that has a quarterback lineup like we have in the AFC West, where all four of those guys are legit Pro Bowlers, are legit good quarterbacks. Like, every team other than Buffalo would trade for any quarterback right now in the West. Any team in the NFC East other than Dallas would probably trade for any quarterback in the AFC West. Maybe you look at what's going on in the AFC South as well. The majority of those teams, maybe all of those teams, maybe Jacksonville, But I think the rest of those teams would trade for the quarterback situation or any quarterback right now in the AFC West. I mean, that just goes to show you how good the quarterbacks are in this division right now. It is by far the hardest division in the NFL, and it's that way because you look at the four-headed monster at the quarterback spot. It isn't. There is not a gap anymore. Patrick Mahomes is still the best, but everybody else has made, you know, inroads to get better at that quarterback position, and they have.
The over-unders for quarterbacks are now out as well. I'm taking over when it comes to Patrick Mahomes.
I'm going over-under.
The total passing yards, over-under 4,600 and a half yards.
I'll go over that.
I'm over that, right?
Yeah.
I've told you he's going to be, you know, he had 48, 39 last year. He's going to be right in that zone, maybe a little higher, maybe a touch lower, but not that much lower. I think 4,600 is an easy over. Touchdown passes, 35 and a half.
Okay.
I'm over.
Over.
On that one as well.
I'm
37 last year. I think he's going to probably a 40 touchdown year out of this one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think so.
When you're least expecting
right. It,
you know. Oh, how are they going to? No, he'll get like 40 touchdowns.
Sports is funny that way. When you're least expecting it, that's when it hits you.
And then total interceptions. This is the one where we differ.
Mm-hmm.
Over under 10 and a half. I don't think it's going to be massively over, but I'll give it a little bit over. 13 last year, but I think he's, you know, 11 or 12 isn't anything that's crushing.
See, I'm going to take the under on that. One of two reasons. Number one, he's not going to throw an interception this year, so that number is going to
be zero.
I'm going to go with none this year for Patrick Mahomes. Well, he doesn't have Tyreek Hill to bounce him up in the air off his shoulders and his hands and tip him up to the defender. And so, I mean, half of his interceptions were from Hill not making a catch
last year.
Pringle
and Robinson don't help out.
Pringle and Robinson aren't tipping it up in the air either. So you got rid of the three guys who caused all the interceptions. Zero this year for Mahomes.
Okay. You're going with zero.
I'm going with zero.
So way under.
That's right. None of the interceptions were his fault last year.
Mm. Okay. Zero.
Zero.